This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we got double trouble, boil and bubble double trouble. We have two guests in here. And today we're going to focus in on an event that I think is important for all listeners, federal IT professionals and regular commercial folks. There's an event coming up in October, and I think it's real important. It's one of the premier events where federal IT professionals can learn about policies, learn about projects, and also exchange information with other Govies, as well as exchange information with commercial folks in a setting that's not the Ronald Reagan Center, in a setting that's not a regular hotel here in Washington, D.C. It takes place in Williamsburg, Virginia. And I think we're talking about the ELC conference, the Executive Leaders Conference, put together by ACT-IACT. But before we begin, I'd like to start off with our two guests. Maybe they can introduce themselves. Jim, would you tell us about your background and how you wound up with IAC, please?
Well, good morning, John. With IACT, I've been involved with it since 1991. I actually attended a conference in Charlottesville designed at how to get government and industry to work better together and to communicate better, and have been involved with them off and on ever since. Chaired the ELC conference a few years ago. And as you mentioned, that really is the best conference of the year in terms of bringing senior-level IT leaders from across the government and the private sector to come together for this education and training event and really focus on how do we leverage technology better to make the federal government better.
You know, Jim, I've had over 300 guests in the studio, many high-level folks, and they say, well, I'm not going to miss this conference. I'm not going to miss ELC. It's kind of important. Rick, tell us about your background, how you wound up working with the federal government, and your connection with this conference, please.
Well, sure. Thanks, John. I started with the federal government about 9 years ago. I'd prior to that worked in the private sector, largely for federal clients. And about 9 years ago, had the opportunity to join the federal government as the CIO at the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, which was a great opportunity to get experience in the federal space. I spent about 5 years doing that. And then about 4 years ago, moved over to ATF to be the CIO and Assistant Director for Science and Technology at ATF. I've been involved with ACT for probably about 6 or 7 years, but most recently and most intensively since about 2011, predominantly and primarily in the area of mobility. With my industry counterpart, Tom Suter from MobileGov, we started the Advanced Mobility Working Group under ACT-IAC, and that's really been a great opportunity to, as Jim said, really leverage the collective expertise of government and industry to address problems of interest to government. And obviously in the mobility space, that was, you know, how do we most effectively adopt mobility in the federal government? How do we rapidly respond to, you know, very quickly emerging and changing technology?
Eric, you're a pretty humble guy. You also have a PhD in chemical engineering from a little school called MIT. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I didn't even mention it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the only human. If I had that, I'd have it tattooed on my forehead, I'd have it on my car. Behind you, a guy with a PhD from MIT. So you do have some technical expertise you can bring to this fight, can't you?
Some, yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously,
the fit of being a CIO, having been trained as a chemical engineer, is not necessarily the most obvious one.
Oh, it's obvious to me.
the interesting thing about my current position is as Assistant Director for Science and Technology, I also get to oversee our forensic science labs and our fire research lab, so that actually allows me to get a little bit more back involved in some of the engineering disciplines that I was actually trained in.
Well, the thing is, do you want to pick an argument with old Rick here? I mean, there's no way. You know, if I have some statistical information I present it to you, I'm going to be scared. I'm going to go, geez, guy's going to tear me apart. I mean, and it keeps everyone honest, though, doesn't it? Okay.
I'm really not that intimidating.
Oh, no? Yeah, well, I've been in enough presentations with some numerical information that people with your background can just churn. And a lot of different fields. I think it applies to many different fields. Okay, so we have the federal government going through all kinds of changes here. There's sequestration, there's budget cutbacks, there's what's going to happen if, there's a flood of mobile devices, there's this little thing called Obamacare, and all the agencies involved with healthcare are getting just put through the ringer. And there's all kinds of problems here. And so one way to solve it is to put your head in the ground and just figure out the problems yourself. Well, I think a good way to solve it is maybe to open yourself up to other ideas, maybe collaborate with others, see how other agencies are solving the problems. And Jim, this is, I guess, what the ELC is all about, is, okay, let's open up to other ideas and see how other people have responded to these challenges.
Well, John, that's exactly right. There are enormous challenges every day. And if you look at what ELC is trying to address, is look at these key challenges in the health and sciences, cybersecurity, financial, regulatory, and economic, public safety, law enforcement. All of those are enormous areas of challenges for government officials today. And if you look at how we've aligned ELC's agenda, it's aligned with the government's agenda so that we can bring these people together to talk about those kinds of best practices, because, frankly, things are moving so fast. People have to be able to come together and take the lessons learned from others and apply them.
You know, Rick, there's a guy named Reid Hoffman. He's the founder of LinkedIn. And one of his mottos is, who you know is what you know. And I think this conference gives the members or participants to meet other people. There are going to be, 200 federal employees there, maybe 400 or 500 commercial people. Good opportunity to get away from Washington, D.C. and plug into a community and learn from others.
Absolutely. And it's also an opportunity to delve a little bit more deeply into some of these issues. I think too often at a lot of other conferences, you scratch the surface of issues, but you don't get a chance to really deeply discuss them and collaborate on them. And really, the intent behind ELC is to provide more of that opportunity for in-depth collaboration, discussion, and ideally, actual problem solving in real time at the conference. Now, we're not going to solve everything in 2.5 days, but we are going to have the chance to tackle a lot of important issues. And as Jim alluded to, explore opportunities to think and perform differently as government and in the government industry partnership. The federal CIO has stressed a lot of recent emphasis on innovation and evidence-based decision-making and programs. And this is a chance for us to start thinking about how do we make that a reality, and how do we incorporate some of that thinking into the way we think about delivering solutions and building capabilities. And I think it's symptomatic of the importance of ELC that both Steve Van Roekel and Todd Park have agreed to attend, because I think they also see this as an opportunity to really engage with the community at large about how we move forward as a federal government.
And Steve Van Roekel lives it. He has no problem with engaging with a lot of different people on a lot of different levels. If you've ever heard about his background, he does not put his head in the sand. He does look and reach out and try to contact other people. If you're interested in this event, it's going to be in late October. I think it's the 27th and 28th of October. And for more information, you can go to actgovactgov.org. You can register and go down. Where's it going to take place, Jim? Is it going to be around here? I think it's in...
Well, it's a short drive away in Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. Really, if you think about Williamsburg, where our country was founded, and it... If you haven't been to Williamsburg, Virginia, it's just a very cool place. I grew up near there, going there all the time. And it's really the history of our country right in front of you. So not a better place to get together and talk about how to improve our government.
A lot of people under 30 don't like cars, and they like to take public transportation. And I'm a big fan of it. My wife was at a conference in Williamsburg a month ago, and she said, well, John, just take the train down there. So you can take the train right down to Williamsburg. It's beautiful. You got power. You got Wi-Fi. You can walk around. I'm a big proponent of taking the train. We may take it down to Christmas. It would be a nice place to walk around and see all the lights down there. So, Rick, we got a conference coming up 3 days. I guess a lot of thought and effort has been put into figuring out what topics to cover.
Absolutely. And, Jim alluded to the four major tracks that we're focusing the conference on in the form of cybersecurity, public safety and law enforcement, health and sciences, and financial, regulatory, and economic missions. And the goal behind those tracks was really to focus the discussion and the topics on some very discrete and tangible problems. So not really focused on technology per se, but focused more on mission outcomes, mission challenges, and how do we better leverage technology to address some of those challenges and deliver better mission performance. performance. The other thing I should mention also is that recently ACT-IAC created a strategic plan, first of its kind really for ACT-IAC, where we identified four priority areas that we want to focus on as an organization. And those priorities are also reflected in some of the things we're going to be looking at ELC. And those four priorities are planning, management, and delivery of services. Second being secure sharing and safeguarding of information. The third being innovation and digital government. And the fourth being evolving the workforce. So you know, clearly those align pretty closely with the federal CIO's announced priorities of innovate, protect, deliver. So we believe those priorities are very supportive of what he's trying to accomplish as well.
Today we're talking about ACT-IAC, the conference coming up in October. The title is Driving Results in a 21st Century Government. We're going to have to take a break. Now we come back, we'll talk more about ACT-IAC and the conference and what you can expect to learn, and maybe some of the different tracks that are there and what you can go down there with a specific problem and walk away with. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Jim Williams. He's the IAC Chair and Senior Vice President, Global Business Development at Dayon. And we have Rick Holgate, ACT President and Assistant Director for Science and Technology, also the CIO, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking about a conference going to take place in Williamsburg, Virginia, late October, around Halloween, I think. So everyone should just get in the train, go down there and have a good time and learn about many different topics. We're in the studio today with a couple of folks from ACT-IAC. We're talking about the conference. We have Jim Williams here. We have Rick Holgate here. In the first block, we talked in general about the topics that were there and everything else. Before I ever started this radio show, Federal News Radio, I remember driving in 66 and I saw the building there and the title was Silo Smashers. I said, what in the world is that? And I got to know the people there. Turns out what the theory was that, you know, a lot of information resides in the silos in the federal government, and they're trying to distribute that information. Now, I think it's a good topic, but I think it applies to just human beings who work for the government themselves. I mean, if you are working at Department of Interior and you're facing a problem that you beat your head against the wall, you can't figure it out, you read some stuff, you talk to people, maybe taking that problem and putting it in a conference or grabbing Rick by the tie and going, well, hey, Rick, how do I make this transition to the cloud? What's the three best practices for me? At this conference, you can just walk up to Rick or Jim and say, well, geez, point out someone I can talk to that lands this problem. And you can do it right there, can't you, Rick?
Absolutely, yeah. And certainly the power of having such a great group of individuals together in one place for an intense couple of days is just that. It's not just the formal program structure. It's also the opportunity for the more ad hoc, informal, serendipitous kind of collaboration that also occurs outside of the formal sessions and events.
You know, I teach a course in social media. I'm all about blogging and tweeting and LinkedIn and everything else. But there's something about face-to-face human communication that has depth and has nuance that maybe my kids don't understand or appreciate. And I think that this is one of the takeaways. I think the takeaway, Jim, is face-to-face. You can sit down with people and go, okay, how did you do at your agency? Oh, really? And what motivation would they have to misinform you? How's that for a carefully chosen word? No motivation to misinform, is there?
Well, people have said if you go to ELC and walk through the hallways and listen in on some of the conversations happening in the hallway, you'll hear government and industry people from different agencies, different companies, all talking together about how to address a problem. And it really is focused, like the theme of the conference, on driving results in a 21st century government. And these people who come to ELC, they're people from both the government and the industry side who've been dedicated mostly to government for a good part of their lives. I worked in government for over 30 years, and I still see that value, John, that you talked about, is people coming together. And I would say young people are coming too, and they like high tech. But from my experience with younger people, they like high touch also. High tech, high touch, and people coming together to talk about these problems is how we solve them.
One category, Rick, is health and sciences. What kind of a program you have with health and sciences, and what kind of focus is that going to be at the conference, if you can maybe elucidate upon that topic?
Sure. So there is kind of an underlying theme to all four of the tracks around, you know, frankly, leveraging big data and using data more wisely to make decisions, to inform programs, to enable mission success. And so obviously in the context of health and sciences, there's a rich opportunity to leverage data, both that the government already has within its possession and make that data more available to the public, but also to look at public data that's out there and use that to inform decision makers from a health perspective. So, for example, looking at trends on social media to predict potential pandemics, or looking at outbreaks of disease, and using all of the data that's out there in the ecosystem on the internet, in the social media environment, to really understand what's happening from a public health perspective, and then to act on that information.
You know, when you said public health and acting on it, I thought Todd Park was going to run to the studio and grab that microphone from you, because that is his. And he's going to speak at the conference, isn't he?
He is, absolutely. He is going to be an active participant. He's going to bring with him a couple of the Presidential Innovation Fellows, and they're going to have a chance to talk about some of the things that they've been doing around, you know, creative solutions to problems facing government, leveraging data, certainly around issues, as you alluded to, like public health, like how do we more effectively enable the procurement process for the federal government? How do we more readily expose information that the federal government has to the private sector so that it can be leveraged more broadly? So we're going to hear directly from Todd and the Innovation Fellows about some of the progress in those areas.
You know, Jim, you can go to Wikipedia and type in public-private partnership and get to come in a fancy definition. But this is what it is, public-private. I think of Todd Park. Well, he earned a lot of money in the private sector, and he's with the federal government because he views it as a challenge. He wants to win. That's the guy you don't want to come up against, and he's gonna work. And so this is a public-private partnership, isn't it?
That's exactly right, John. It's about the government and the private sector coming together to make government work better. As Rick talked about health and sciences, talking about just simply how do we take the enabling technology and the data and bring it all together with the new technologies and the data, and focus on things like just simply better care, more efficient and better care for Americans. And so I'm excited by this. I think that's what this is all about, is solving these problems. And I like what Rick said, is we're taking the technology and the data as really the tools that you use to address these mission areas. And how do we improve government? It's what all Americans want.
If you take a look at the different topics, health and sciences is one that's rather obvious. Another one is cybersecurity. It really kind of cross over. I mean, you can't talk about health without cybersecurity, and cybersecurity kind of has its tentacles and everything. You have a whole block dedicated to that, don't you, Rick?
We do. And, again, back to the theme of, kind of big data is the underlying element across all of these tracks. Cybersecurity is another one of those areas where, there's a huge volume of data that we have access to, and increasingly so now that we've adopted more continuous monitoring of our systems and our environments. We have a rich amount of information available to us, and the question becomes, how do we most effectively use all that information to make security-based decisions? And it's not always system security, it's also personnel security decisions. And how do we understand the behavior of users within our environment? How do we act on the information of what we're seeing from what's happening in our environment to make decisions related to security more quickly, more effectively? The flip side of it, too, is, how do we also look at the privacy implications of cybersecurity generally, in the sense of, particularly now in the aftermath of, the Snowden leaks and a variety of other things, the vast volume of information that's potentially out there that's available to government about individuals, and some of it, a lot of it voluntarily contributed through social media, that sort of thing. How do we leverage that information smartly while respecting privacy of citizens?
I did a whole show with Dr. Terry Gouditis last week, and we talked about social media and physical security and where they intersect. That is probably an 8-hour topic. You can just dis one part of it. And I think that's why you can pick and choose. If you go to actgov.org, actgov.org, you can register for this event coming up in late October. It's going to take place not too far from here, Williamsburg. And nice place to go. You can bring your spouse along with you and have her or him sit in a room and then walk around this town afterwards. That's what I did in August, by the way. And it's a nice town. Williamsburg is a beautiful little town. Let's talk about financial, regulatory, and economic track. Jim, what kind of topics do you think will be covered in that general area?
Well, there's an enormous amount of data associated with financial, regulatory, and economic. And how do you take all of these different financial type agencies and say, all of you all are collecting data. How do you take the right kind of data analytics? How do you make that data available to the private sector so that you can really improve how you regulate financial institutions, and how do you do the right kind of economic policy? there's so much data that's out there. Now we just need to find the right practices and the right tools to say, how do we leverage that to improve government?
And I think that's the key is we're bombarded. There's a tsunami of information and data, and there's a tsunami of solutions, too. And which ones fit? Managing mobile devices, well, just open that one up, and there's a three-hour answer, just the number of companies that can assist you in that. And I think if you interchange information with people, if you you meet Todd Park, maybe meet one of his innovators down there and ask them, okay, you're coming in from the private sector. How did you guys manage this madness? How did you? And it just opens up to all kinds of new ideas that I think are dynamic and kind of interesting. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about the ELC conference coming up next month and maybe talk about public safety, law enforcement, and maybe do a little bit deeper dive into some mobile aspects of the conference. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jim Williams. He's the IAC Chair and Senior Vice President, Global Business Development for Dayon. And we have Rick Holgate, ACT President, and also the Assistant Director for Science and Technology and CIO, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are sitting with Jim Williams. He's the IAC Chair and Senior Vice President of Global Business Development for Dayon, and Rick Holgate, ACT President and Assistant Director for Science and Technology, CIO, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF. We're talking about a conference in Williamsburg, Executive Leaders Conference, going to take place in late October. If you want more information, actact.gov.org, and you can register for the event. What do you figure, Rick, about 200 govies, 500 commercial folks? What are you looking at here? Something like that?
That's about what we're hoping for. That was the range of the attendance that we had hoped to have last year until weather unfortunately intervened in ELC in 2012. But that's been our expectation for this year.
So who the leading headline? Who's the headliner? Todd Park, Steve Van Roekel?
Yeah, certainly Steve Van Roekel, Todd Park. We recently, I believe, have confirmation from Rafael Boris, who's the Undersecretary for Management at Department of Homeland Security. So strong list of headliners. But again, I think most of the value that people see in the conference is more of the informal collaboration that occurs both in the sessions themselves and outside as well.
I used to go to FOSSE and all the action FOSSE. I was meet with people in hotels around the conference and interview them. And I think there's a lot of informal information that takes place in many of these conferences.
Actually, I should mention, we've also tried to incorporate a little bit more of that informal collaboration into the structure of the conference itself, recognizing that that's why a lot of people come to the event in the first place. I should also mention, from a headliner standpoint, we also have Dan Tangerlini from GSA, who's going to be there as well. And when you look at Dan and Raphael, the intent there is to make sure that people understand this is more than about just technology. It's about finding ways of accomplishing the mission of government better and more effectively. And so I think certainly Dan and Raphael bring that perspective.
You know, Jim, some listeners get information from the radio, some read blogs, some actually read books. That's strange. And tell me about blogs. Do you have a blog? Is there a blog you recommend from our listeners to read to learn more about this or more in general about executive leadership?
Well, John, as you mentioned, if you go to actgov.org, you can actually see that Rick has a blog. And I have a blog. I don't know if anything is posted there, but Rick has two recent blogs where people have commented on them. And I think that people do read blogs by leaders like Rick. So I think it is a good way to communicate information and to get feedback.
If you want to find my blog, you go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and mine pops up. What about you, Rick? Do you have a regular blog? Is there someone you read to get information?
Well, as Jim mentioned, we have recently kind of reinstituted the ACT IAC leadership blog. It's called generically Community Center because we really want to try and make it as collaborative and as interactive as possible. And it's really a way for us to communicate more directly with the ACT IAC membership. The easiest way to find it probably is just to follow ACT IAC on Twitter, which is just at ACTIAC, and all the blog posts will appear in the Twitter feed there.
And hashtag ELC 2013 as well. Get more information about the conference. I think that's increasingly the way more and more people want to get information. The information we're interested in here today is public safety law enforcement. That's one of the, one of the topics in general going to handle. Jim, anything interesting there? Some new things that haven't come up in the past?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on there and looking at public safety law enforcement, first responders. And all of this, to me, John, is about how do we connect things better? And as we mentioned earlier, things long time ago used to be in silos and cylinders. Now everything is connected, and we want those things to be connected in the right sort of way so that first responders can respond by taking the right kinds of data, the right kind of information. Law enforcement can be better at sharing data, better at using data analytics to better perform their mission. So all of these enabling things, whether you're looking at the big data, mobility, looking at how do you do this in a secure sort of way as cyber becomes a thread throughout all of these, they're all about leveraging that data and leveraging it on the devices that people use now differently to do their jobs. And they've got to be able to use those devices in a mobile way to access the data, the right kind of information extracted from that data, and be able to do those jobs better.
Rick, a real hot phrase around the radio studio is continuous monitoring. Means lots of different things, different people. I talked about interior. I know someone works at DOI, what's he called? There may be an aspect of the interior that has one level of continuous monitoring. Maybe the people over at HHS have a different level, and I would guess the people at the DOD have a different level completely. I mean, there's civilian agencies that have a range of continuous monitoring requirements, and maybe some of this this detail would be explained in this conference. People have to talk about different levels for different requirements.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think certainly the cybersecurity track is probably the one where that issue is going to be most explicitly addressed of, you know, what are we seeing through continuous monitoring? How do we leverage all of that information most effectively and use it to make meaningful decisions about how do we respond to threats, or how do we preferably, you know, predict when potential problems are going to occur so we can get out in front of them and prevent them from actually happening?
Part of the cybersecurity is going to talk about FISMA, FedRAMP, open data, mobility, all the big topics.
Yes.
Great. Public-private partnerships, I think, is an important aspect of this. Are there going to be speakers, Jim, from the private industry going to talk there? Any commercial folks going to give any presentations?
Yes. Well, in all of these tracks, we draw from the public sector, make sure we get the key government leaders, as well as people who are involved in these issues from the private sector. And again, many of the people who are in the private sector are people who have dedicated their professional lives in these particular areas. So we have key leaders from both public and private sectors coming together in public safety and law enforcement.
So, Rick, you work at ATF. A lot of sensitive information over there, I would think. And I think if you try to follow the mandate of the federal government to open up data, release data for public consumption, I imagine you have to be much more judicious than folks over at vaccines.gov or, you know, maybe USDA. And so I imagine if you work for ATF, there would be certain specific topics that would be much more interested than other topics. What are two or three that you, if you were an individual attending this conference, which ones would you go to?
Well, I think, you know, certainly we talked about the public safety and law enforcement track, and that's probably the one that's obviously closely aligned with the mission of ATF. As Jim alluded to, that particular track has two chairs who are organizing that track, one from the government, one from the private sector. Stephen Cooper from ICE is the government chair, and Chad Fulgham, the former CIO from the FBI, is the now industry co-chair. So they're putting together a strong program around all the issues facing public safety and law enforcement. Mobility is a predominant theme in there because, as you can imagine, the whole first responder workforce is very mobile, and understanding how to effectively secure devices and deliver meaningful capability on those devices is an incredibly important problem for first responders and public safety practitioners to solve. To your point about open data, certainly from a law enforcement perspective, the question of open data is a little bit more interesting than for a more public-facing organization. Now, having said that, you know, we at ATF have data sets that are frequently the subject of FOIA requests, in particular some of our statistical information. So there's no privacy-related data or personal information in it, but statistical data about firearms tracing is a data set that is very frequently requested from us. So by opening up that data set, and again, just from a statistical perspective, we can alleviate a lot of the demand on our own folks from a FOIA perspective, and also deliver data to the public, since it's obviously something that they're interested in that they want more direct access to. I think the more intriguing open data possibility and opportunity for law enforcement is, frankly, you know, among law enforcement agencies. And that's, you know, even, you know, 10, 11 years after 9/11, we're still working through some of the challenges of effective information sharing, but opening up our data to each other across law enforcement agencies and even across branches of the federal government remains a huge area of opportunity for us.
There are technical discussions about interoperability, especially with healthcare standards. But I think the interoperability, Jim, may apply to different agencies as well. They have to interoperate and get to know each other. And if you can establish a beachhead or meet someone at a different agency and find out how to interchange and how to release information, I think that's one of the benefits of the ELC, isn't it?
Well, I would agree. And I think our co-chair is Margie Graves, the acting CIO of DHS, and Paul Strasser from DRC. They are focused on that. They are focused on how do we take all of these different mission areas and make sure that you can bring people together who are the right people who can look at these problems from a big data, mobility, cybersecurity, all of these things. How do we simply make them be better? And I think that is the focus for all of the areas of ELC. And public safety and law enforcement is just a critical one today. And as Rick said, it really is related to cybersecurity. You mentioned FISMA, FedRAMP, open data mobility. I see these things, John, as all of these things are connected in ways they never were before. And how do we connect them better? And looking at sharing data, you can only share data where the data is harmonized, where people are speaking the same language.
Let's continue our language, our discussion about ELC after a quick break here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jim Williams. He's the IAC Chair and Senior Vice President over at Dayon. And Rick Holgates, he's the ACT President and Assistant Director for Science and Technology, CIO at the ATF. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking about a conference in October sponsored by ACT IACT. The conference is called ELC, and many listeners know what all those acronyms stand for, and so they know what the Executive Leadership Conference is all about. We have two folks here who are representing ACT IACT in the studio. We have Jim Williams. He is the IAC Chair and Senior Vice President of Global Development for a company called Dayon. And we have Rick Holgate. He is the ACT or ACT President and also the Assistant Director for Science and Technology, as well as the CIO, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. What a long title. ATF sounds so much better, doesn't it, Rick?
Yes, it does.
Well, this is the part of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about social media and Twitter. We mentioned it before. If you want to follow ACT IACT, it's at ACT IACT. Hashtag is ELC2013 and find out about current information. And it has a link to Rick's blog, by the way. So social media all kinds of interoperates itself. How's that for interaction? And you can read his blog there, and it talks about exactly what's going to take place at the conference and what the takeaways are. You know, driving results in a 21st century government. Well, that means Twitter feeds. It means mobile devices. It means all kinds of things. And many of my listeners are listening to these two guys and going, nah, I wonder who the card-carrying nerd is. You know, maybe, I don't know, you know. Jim's done this a while, and Rick's got that fancy pants degree. We'll see if he's a real nerd or not. So I'm going to have a 10-question test here, which is going to solve the question for my listeners, who the card-carrying nerd is here. And I'm going to give the test first to Jim and see if you survive this test. So, Jim, do you have a desktop computer in your residence at home?
Yes.
Oh, old-fashioned, huh? And when
did I'm you sorry, get... I have a laptop.
A laptop.
Let me
okay,
clarify.
Okay, he changes. And when did you get your first cell phone? What year?
You know, I'm in my 50s. It was in my 30s. I honestly don't remember when. Okay. I used to, when I was in government, I carried a government cell phone, a personal cell phone. I had a pager. My old CIO, Scott Hastings, used to tell me I should just wear these things like a bandito across my chest.
Yeah, and have a bandolier or something. Hmm. And do you have a personal Twitter feed, Jim?
I do not.
Okay. And do you have a personal blog?
I don't have a personal blog. I have a blog through ACT IACT on actgov.org.
And do you use any personal backup services?
I do not.
Okay. What kind of smartphone you have?
Today I have an iOS, but I used to have an Android.
Mm-hmm. And how many apps do you use on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, on your smartphone?
A few of them. I frankly, I'm a baseball fan. I look at MLB quite a bit, but I don't know exactly how many I have.
Jim, how many tablet devices do you have at home? It used to be if, now it's how many.
Sure. The answer is zero. I'm ancient. I guess I'm a digital immigrant. I like books. Good, believe good. It or not, I still buy books.
What active social networking sites do you participate in?
LinkedIn, Facebook. Okay. I don't go to Facebook very often, mostly to read my my kids post and what they're doing. But LinkedIn, I actually do use that quite a bit because that's how people are connected. And I'm a people person, and I like to stay connected to people. And I think LinkedIn does a great job with that.
Last book you read, was it paper or electronic, Jim?
Paper.
Okay, well, this should be an easy one for you to win here, Rick. Let's see what you got going. Unless he surprises us and you know, he has a slide rule in his pocket or something. Do you have any desktop computers in your residence?
We do have one, yeah.
One? Well, isn't that interesting? I don't know if you could positive or negative points for that. When did you buy your first cell phone?
It was probably in the early 90s.
Okay. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's at Rick Holgate.
Wow. Do you have a personal blog?
No, just the one through ACT IAC.
Okay. Well, you're in a kind of unique situation here. Do you use any online personal backup services?
I do, without mentioning the name, but it actually recently saved me when my hard drive failed, so I was grateful for that that capability.
Good answer. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
iOS.
iOS. And what apps do you use there on a monthly basis, or how many use every 30 days?
A frightening number, I would say.
Frightening number. And the ATF guy says, frightening, run from the room. And we walk around your house this afternoon, how many tablet devices are we going to find?
Just one.
Just one. Mm-hmm. Losing points there, losing nerd points. What social networking sites are you involved in?
The usual, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter.
And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was actually electronic. It was The Four Disciplines of Execution, and actually that was an executive reading assignment at ATF, and we distributed it electronically to all of our executives.
Mm. Interesting. So we'll have to put these through my UNIVAC computer in my basement, and we'll print out something in Green Bar and mail it to Jim in U.S. Mail. And figure it out. So I was interested. I never know where these questions are going to lead. I'll let my listeners decide who the card-carrying nerd is here. But, you know, this event isn't going to be about card-carrying nerds, is it? It's going to be about interacting with different people. So the ELC is going to have maybe some nerds, some techies, some presidential innovators, some leaders from the federal government, some people work with the commercial sector. Maybe these commercial folks worked for an agency for 20 years. So they may have some insights for anyone who attends ELC. Is that right, Rick?
Absolutely. Yeah. And as I said, we're trying to extend the membership, the participation beyond the technology community to include the acquisition community, the finance community. And we're doing that with the ACT IAC executive committees as well.
Jim, the question is anyone at this ELC conference going to use any paper-based devices, let's say paper-based cards?
Well, I think it's interesting. Maybe it is a generational thing. I'm actually carrying one of the ACT IAC notebooks. Rick is here with his tablet. I still take notes with a pen and paper, and I think it is just personal preference. I think you'll see both.
I'm always interested in who you see, and a lot of times someone asks a question, but the real person is in the back of the room who's the decision maker, who's not asking the question, but they're making the strategic decisions for agencies. And what they do, I think they sit back and they see how the discussion evolves, and then they may follow someone up on social media and find out, well, Rick Holgate said something really interesting up there. I'm not going to actually talk to him, but I'm going to follow him on social media, maybe read his blog and see what insights he has. I think there's all kinds of levels of communication at these events, aren't there, Rick?
Absolutely.
What happens before or after? Any kind of meetings before or after? ACT get together and talk about future conferences? What happens at a typical event like this, Rick?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do this year that's different than in previous years is to weave ELC into a broader set of activities throughout ACT IAC. So, you know, really ELC is kind of the major event that kind of kicks off our program year, which runs from July through June. We have a number of additional conferences in the early part of calendar 2014 to include a small business conference, acquisition excellence, management of change. And the intent is to carry on the momentum that's generated from ELC through those other conferences in early 2014, as well as the ongoing collaboration activities through our shared interest groups, through our professional development activities. So really to make sure that what we've learned and what we've agreed to collaborate on at ELC, in fact, gets carried through other collaborative mechanisms.
You know, Jim, the Todd Park's got his innovators, presidential innovators, but there's an Institute for Innovation at ACT IAC, isn't there?
There is, and that's fairly new, and it's actually something that Steve Van Roekel has given us one of the taskings to look at: how do we improve the government's ability to develop, acquire, and deliver systems. So we're excited about that particular challenge. And the Institute is, as I said, it's fairly new, but it's really focused on the big challenges of government that are coming their way. But what we're also trying to do, as Rick said, we're trying to focus on outcomes and trying to leverage all parts of ACT-IAC, which is really our shared interest groups, our events like ELC and the management of change, and our professional development, as well as the Institute, to say when we're given a challenge, let's apply all the tools in the toolbox in a synchronized way to produce an outcome for government.
I did my expenses at the end of August, and one of the categories was training. and I do a lot of training. And I think this is really what this is all about. It comes under the category of training, and people attend this conference. They can be trained in many different areas. And there's professional development additional to this training that ACT-IAC provides, partners, voyagers, and associates. Is that right, Rick?
That's right. And that's been an important part of what we do as ACT-IAC. Again, those professional development activities are joint industry and government. So each class is 50-50 government and industry participants, with the intent of creating one professional development opportunities at various levels within government and industry, but also to really foster that sense of collaboration, that sense of community and cooperation between government and industry that will carry those individuals forward through their careers.
Any emphasis on security coming up in the future that you're not going to cover at this conference, or just in the last 10-20 seconds here, Jim, where do you think this is going to, what kind of tracks are they going to branch off in the future out of this conference?
Well, before the conference, we actually have a shared services forum coming up, and you mentioned that. That's next week, and that's very important. And again, shared services is about how do you leverage common services across government? How do you better connect? How do you share best practices? And you mentioned security. I think we're all always going to be focused on security. It's too important to our lives.
It may change from desktop security to network to the cloud to mobile in the cloud to new mobile devices. Samsung released a watch yesterday.
Right.
I mean, how's that going to interact with the federal government? So I walk into an agency and I've got a smartwatch on and two smartphones and a notebook and a tablet. I mean, the changes, I mean, it's just very difficult anticipating what's going to happen.
Well, I think the security challenges were already hard enough when you just had desktops connected by wire. Now that you have mobile devices connected into the cloud, how do you really make sure that those people are connecting, that we've authenticated them?
We're talking about connecting with people at the ELC conference coming up in October. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Jim Williams, who's the IAC Chair and Senior Vice President at Dayon, Rick Holgate, ACT President, and also the Assistant Director of Science and Technology, CIO at the ATF. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.